News Radio 14, KQV.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Long ago, or was it only yesterday, it seemed that there were no such words as, for instance, consciousness raising. We paid lip service to concepts like equality. But after all, everybody knew that men were stronger and more capable than women. The ladies, bless them, had their place, and it was in the home. Then suddenly, this centuries-old arrangement just fell apart. But there are those men who simply cannot understand it.
Jeannie.
Of course it's Jeannie.
Oh, Jeannie, what a dream. I dreamt I shot and killed you.
That was no dream. You did kill me.
I killed you?
Yes. And I'm dead.
You're dead.
Look at me, Bobby. See the bullet hole?
Then this must be a dream.
No, this isn't a dream either.
Then what is it? What is it?
Our mystery drama, The Better Half, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Tony Roberts and Patricia Elliott. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It's a good feeling to sleep the night away on a perfect sleeper by Susan.
I'm Susan Anton. The perfect sleeper gives you the top comfort you love and the deep support you need. Top comfort, deep support. You get both from every sort of perfect sleeper. That's firmness that feels good. So,
be a perfect sleeper by
I like pepperoni, but it doesn't like me.
You better pass with Digel.
With the ingredients in Digel, relief from acid indigestion and gas starts in less than a minute.
I like corned beef.
I like cabbage.
I like Frank's.
I like beans.
I like spaghetti.
And meatballs. But they don't like me.
If you like something that doesn't like you,
you better pass with Digel.
Digel relief starts in less than a minute. For occasional use only as directed.
Maybe we're all too emotional when we think about special education for handicapped children. We always think of human values, not dollar values. Maybe it's time we took a cold, hard look at these kids and what it costs to develop their potential. Okay, the truth. Special education and vocational training cost a lot of money. Special teachers, special equipment, special classes. It all adds up. But here's the catch. It costs even more not to educate handicapped people. Much more. Keeping people dependent for life or keeping them in institutions. Those are luxuries we can't afford. So don't be emotional. Look at it coldly in dollars and cents. With special education, most handicapped children grow up to become taxpayers. It's a good investment. A public service message on behalf of the United States Office of Education.
Everyone said that marrying Jeannie Fry was the smartest thing Bobby Boyle ever did. After all, Bobby had been knocking around for years as a PR man and not really getting anywhere. It was Jeannie's genius that organized Boyle and Fry, Let Us Start Cooking For You, and made it into one of the top PR firms in the country. Furthermore, in addition to being one of the world's most brilliant women, Jeannie is also one of the world's most beautiful. So what more could Bobby want?
What more could I want? I'm afraid nobody really understands. I don't want more. I want less.
Eat some more.
What is this?
What does it taste like?
Garbage.
Be specific. What kind of garbage?
How would I know?
Why are you so irritable? This is our new account. Jack Martin's company has bought out this new health food.
It certainly tastes bad enough to be good for you.
That's because it's filled with all those minerals and vitamins and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, he'd better put some things in there to improve the flavor.
If he does, it'll be just another junk food.
How are you going to sell this?
Don't be concerned. I'll think of something. I'll save the day.
And she did. She thought of it in the taxi cab on the way down to Jack Martin's office.
We've created a name for you, Jack.
Oh, great. What is it?
Character.
Character?
What's missing in today's frenetic society, Jack? What's missing in our stereotyped, homogenous social order, our bland, insipid, routine existence? Character.
Character.
Character is missing. Strength of purpose, of will.
All right.
Strength to face the plain, unvarnished truth. Character has the strength of truth. That's exactly what your new cereal has. Truth. The taste of truth. Are you starting to think with me?
It's beginning to glow.
Truth. Face the truth in the morning. And will stay with you all day long?
Yeah.
You are what you eat?
Right.
So each morning, absorb the truth, a truth that is not hidden, disguised, adulterated.
I got it. Why don't we call it truth?
Truth? Fantastic. Jack, you're a genius.
Yeah. You know, truth. Yeah. Not bad. What do you think, Bobby?
Is it exactly wise to put out a food product that only appeals to men, that turns women off by its very image?
That's a point, Jeannie.
Of course, that's the point. Why come out with one cereal when we can come out with two?
Two?
Of course. Bobby and I have been working on a similar image for our ladies' breakfast food, haven't we, Bobby?
Bobby, you know, you're the luckiest guy in the world to be married to Jeannie. What more could any guy want?
Bobby, maybe you'd better get back to the office and set up a production meeting. I'll work out some of the basic philosophy with Jack.
Philosophy. At one time, it had to do with deep thinking on the part of people like Plato and Socrates and Spinoza. Now it's, anyhow, you look at her, so elegant, beautiful, sophisticated. But 10 years ago, I keep thinking of her 10 years ago. Do you know where I met her? Can you even begin to imagine what this cool, brilliant woman of the world was doing?
Give me a stack of wheats. Too easy over. BT, hold the mayo. And what's yours?
I'll just have a cup of coffee, Jeannie.
Yeah, so how do you know my name is Jeannie?
You mean it really is Jeannie? Hey, that's poetic justice.
Yeah, why?
Well, because it should be Jeannie, to go with that light brown hair.
Is that a regular coffee?
What time do you get off?
Look, I never go out with strange men.
Oh, there's nothing strange about me. I'm perfectly normal. I stop for coffee at that diner every day for 2 weeks. Then I skipped a day. The following morning, she said to me,
"Hey, where were you yesterday?"
"Oh, you missed me. Hey, that proves something."
"What?"
"You love me."
"You know what I love? I love the way you talk."
"How do I talk?"
"Well, sometimes it's the words you say, and sometimes it's the tone of your voice. Anybody who listens knows you're educated. You went to college, didn't you?"
"Yes."
"It shows.
College isn't everything."
"No, I never even thought about it. You know, I never even missed it. I'm doing okay. Look, I make more here than a lot of college girls do in an office. But, well, now I miss it all of a sudden."
"All of a sudden?"
"No, when you walked in."
"Me?"
"I didn't want to go out with you because, like, you make me feel ignorant."
"Look, I'm sorry.
No. It isn't your fault. It's mine. There are just so many things I don't know about. Would you help me?
Sure.
I mean, kind of see that, that if I went, I'd take the right courses and sort of check up on me?
You realize, we'd have to see a great deal of each other.
Well, that's going to be the nicest part of it.
She was, I can only say, unbelievable. Unnatural. She seemed to soak up learning just like a sponge. Art, music, literature, languages, history, even the sciences. They all came so easily. She understood them so completely. The fact is, and I admit it, she's smarter than I am. Her learning goes deeper than mine. I don't mind that at all. I just wish it wasn't so obvious to everybody else. Well, now, that isn't true. I do mind it. Yes?
Hi, it's Jack. Is Jeannie back at the office yet?
Oh, she has a lunch day, Jack. Anything serious?
I want to discuss some policy aspects of this new campaign.
Oh, I can help you out there.
Yeah, sure. I guess you could.
What's the problem?
Oh, for crying out loud. I'd forget my head if it wasn't either. I can't take the time to talk about it now, Bobby. What's wrong with me? I got a board meeting in 5 minutes.
Oh.
It'll break by 4:30. Ask Jeannie to ring me then, huh?
Sure.
You know, you're the luckiest man in the world to be married to Jeannie. What more could any guy want?
You're the luckiest man in the world. What more could any guy want? It was like Chinese water torture, you know, where they drip water on your skull one drop at a time until one day you just go crazy. That's how those words were beginning to affect me. If I heard them one more time.
Hi, Bobby.
Oh, hello, Linda. I'm sorry I'm late.
I ordered your drink.
With a twist.
Without ice.
You remembered.
Bobby, why did you want to see me?
I don't know, Linda. I just don't know.
That isn't true. But we'll let it pass for now.
I just thought we'd have a drink for old time's sake.
Have you told your wife?
Have I told her what?
That you were meeting a girl you used to be engaged to.
We weren't exactly engaged. Linda, I'd like to see you again.
You're seeing me now?
I mean...
What's wrong with you, Bobby?
Nothing.
Well, there has to be. If you're not satisfied with Jeannie, what more could a man want?
Don't say that.
It's true.
I suppose you have a right to be sarcastic.
I'm being sincere. That's why I gave you up, without a fight. I accepted the inevitable. I was powerless against a woman who has absolutely everything. Brains, beauty, personality. And as much as I hate to admit it, she's so womanly. What's wrong with you, Bobby?
Why do you insist that there's something wrong with me?
Do you realize how lucky you are?
Don't say that.
Bobby, what's wrong with you? Why are you so pale? Are you all right? Bobby?
You shouldn't have said that, Linda. You shouldn't have said it.
Where were you, Bobby?
Where was I? I wasn't aware that I had to sign in and sign out.
Darling, what's the matter?
Nothing is the matter. I don't like the way you handled things with Jack Martin this morning.
Oh?
Yeah, I don't like being dismissed and sent off to perform an errand as if I were an office boy.
I had to get you out of there.
Did you?
Psychologically, at the very moment you close a deal, you're the most vulnerable to cancellation.
What does this have to do with me?
Any negativism may serve as a fuel for a bonfire.
Oh, come on. You're talking to me.
It's the truth. Fortunately, I was able to retrieve the situation.
Yeah, I guess you were.
You have a positively murderous look in your eyes.
I do.
You've been very hostile lately, and it shows.
I guess it does.
You look angry enough to kill somebody.
I guess I am. That's why I went out and bought one of these.
That's a revolver.
No, it's not. It's an automatic. See? You don't know everything.
You do realize you're pointing it at me.
How nonchalantly well-bred we've become. A far cry indeed from Murphy's Diner. But just one little pull on the trigger, and you fall from that high estate. Down. All the way down. Don't answer it.
It's Jack Martin. He knows I'm home. If I don't answer, he may become alarmed. Oh, come on, Bobby. You're not going to kill me, and you know it.
I want to talk to you.
Let me get rid of Jack Martin first.
No, I'll get rid of him. Hello?
Bobby. Jack. Is Jeannie there?
No. She hasn't come back from the office yet.
Oh. I just want to check out a few figures with her. Would you have her call me when she gets in? She really came up with a winner today. Oh, a pair of them.
I know.
A wife like Jeannie.
Don't say it.
Do you know how lucky you are? What more could any guy want?
That did it.
Bobby, what are you... No, don't. You can't. You can't shoot me.
I can't?
Oh, Bobby.
Don't laugh. I'm warning you. Don't laugh. Oh,
I can't help it. You don't even know how to do it.
Jeannie!
You're holding the gun wrong. It's too close to your eye. If it backfires, the flash could blind you. You just can't do anything right.
That does it!
You go along quietly in the same old rut, performing the same old routine for days, weeks, months, years, and everybody thinks they understand exactly who and what you are. And then suddenly, without warning, you just explode. You embezzle $1 million from your boss, or you just drop out and go to the South Seas to paint, or you murder your wife. But I shall adhere to my time-honored routine and return shortly with Act Two.
Right now, Avon's got an exciting new game. We call it Open Up to Avon.
Open up to Avon. Open up to looking good.
A new game.
Open up to feeling like you should.
The fun begins with your Open Up to Avon game card.
Open up to Avon. Bringing beauty door to door. With surprises everybody's looking for.
The game card is your ticket to savings on exciting beauty products. And maybe even a free gift.
Open up to Avon. Open up to looking good.
Your representative is bringing your Open Up game card. So get in on all the fun.
Open up to feeling like you should.
What a nice surprise, Avon.
It's your way of looking good. One-to-one feeling like you should.
Purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Your lung association says smoke's not just your affair. That smoke screen that you puff around pollutes non-smokers' air. It's bad for kids and older folks with lungs not up to par. It's damaging for you, of course, but your smoke travels far. Your
Association and you know that cigarettes are a breathing hazard. Smokers, please don't add that extra offense. Give us a break for life and breath.
Years ago, when men were more secure in their dominance than they are today, a husband might refer to his wife as my better half. It was a nice, sweet, chivalrous gesture. But what man, really, deep down, believed it? However, there were times when that saying expressed a literal truth. And then, of course, there might be trouble.
Bobby? Bobby, wake up.
Huh?
Bobby?
Who?
Jeannie.
Of course. It's Jeannie.
Jeannie. Oh, Jeannie, what a dream I had. I dreamt I shot you. I killed you.
It was no dream.
And it was so real.
It was no dream. You did shoot me.
And you are dead.
Yes, I am.
And now I'm having this dream.
No, this isn't a dream. This is real.
But it's impossible. If you're dead, how can you be here?
I have to be here. There's no help for it.
I don't understand.
You see, Bobby, I love you.
After what I did to you?
Oh, Bobby, when I first met you, I thought you were the most brilliant human being in the whole world. I worshipped you. Later, when I discovered how foolish you could be, I fell in love with you.
I must be asleep.
No, we're beyond all that. I'm dead. I'm here. You're awake.
What? How is it possible?
I don't know how it's possible.
There has to be an explanation.
Perhaps it's because I made a certain reservation when we took our marriage vows, when the minister said, "For as long as ye both shall live," I whispered to myself, "Longer. Even death wouldn't keep me from you." Maybe that explains it. The fact is, somebody has to look after you.
But if you're here, then it's as if you're still alive. Nobody will know the difference.
No, Bobby. I'm only here for you. To everyone else, I'll be dead. No one can see me. No one can hear me.
Why?
Darling, take my word for it.
Why can I see you and hear you?
You have to, or there would be no point to my coming here.
Well, why are you here?
Oh, poor darling Bobby. I don't want you to go to jail.
What are you talking about, jail?
You killed me. Well, what's your next move? That is your basic problem. You never make plans. I'm gone now, Bobby. How shall you account for my disappearance? What are you going to say?
I don't have to say anything.
Oh, darling, you'll make a mess of it. Let me help you.
No.
No?
No. No, that's why I killed you, remember? I don't want your help. And besides, all this is just a dream. So, if you'll excuse me, I'll go back to sleep.
Darling, if you're dreaming all this, how can you go back to sleep?
All I know is that it is morning, finally. And I'm all alone in the bedroom. Did I have a nightmare? I can't say. One thing I know, and know for certain, I had killed her. The rest, well, there is such a thing as conscience, and I am sorry. But I had to do it. I felt that, in her own way, she'd been destroying me. Yes?
Bobby.
Oh, Jack. Good morning.
Good morning. It's almost time for lunch. Where's Jeannie? I called the office. She hasn't come in yet. Where is she?
Jeannie?
We have all this important stuff to go over.
Oh, Jeannie.
Bobby, are you all right? What's going on there?
Nothing that I know of.
Well, is she home?
No.
Now look, do you mean you don't know where she is?
Tell him you'll call him back.
I'll call you back. Jeannie.
I told you. You simply have to account for my not being here anymore. Now, let me tell you how you're going to do that.
Look here.
Can't you understand? You're a man whose wife has suddenly and mysteriously disappeared. You're going to need some very fancy footwork. So, to begin with, let me tell you what you must say to Jack Martin.
Jack. Bobby, are you sure?
I don't know what else to tell you, Jack.
Well, I find it awfully hard to believe about you and Jeannie. I thought you were the world's happiest married couple.
Well, we were. We are. It's just that, well, over the past few months, she was saying, Bobby, I have to get away. I have to get away.
But Jeannie, I mean, you and Jeannie had become sort of indispensable to me, in a way.
Oh, well, it's not your fault. I mean, she was just bone weary, fed up with everything, everybody. I think she wanted a whole new lifestyle.
Like what?
I have to find myself, Bobby, she kept saying. I must find myself. Who am I? What am I? She said to me, darling, you'll wake up one morning and I shall be gone. Don't look for me. It has nothing to do with you or our love. It's between me and the primal forces of the universe. Well, Jack, life must go on.
Bobby, do you think we ought to notify the police?
Well, that was the first thing that occurred to me, Jack. But then I asked myself, notify him about what? I mean, my wife decides to go somewhere by herself. What can the police do about it?
Well, maybe we ought to, anyhow, just to be safe.
When I returned home that evening, there was a cop waiting for me. A detective. Her name was Lieutenant Diana Pollock.
Mr. Boyle. You have no idea why your wife is missing, other than these vague speculations?
No, Lieutenant.
Any idea of where she might have gone?
Nope. None at all.
Did she take many articles of clothing with her?
Well, no.
Does that strike you as strange?
No. No, if she wanted to get away from what she was doing, it seems reasonable to assume that she would also want to get away from what she was wearing.
Are you alarmed? Concerned?
Lieutenant, there was a part of Jeannie that I could never understand. I always felt our relationship was too good to be true, that one day it would end. She would get tired of it, and me, and go elsewhere. She was always seeking, searching.
Does she have any money?
Oh, yes. Quite a bit.
I mean, with her.
Oh, I'm sure she can provide very well for herself.
All right, Mr. Boyle. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Lieutenant Pollock. Most unusual detective. And very interesting.
Hey, cut that out.
Jeannie.
You never went in for infidelity while I was alive, so don't start that sort of thing now that I'm dead.
But now that you're dead...
What? We're still married, Bobby. Remember that.
I only said she was an attractive-looking woman.
Oh, no, you didn't. You said she was interesting-looking. And that's dangerous. And, Bobby, she is dangerous.
Why?
Bobby, you shot me. What did you do with the gun?
It's upstairs.
Upstairs?
Yes, it's hidden in the closet.
Right now, we'll go upstairs. You will get that gun, and we will get in the car, and we will drive over the South Side Bridge, and you will throw that gun in the water. Oh, this is all right, Bobby. Right here. Good. There isn't a soul in sight. Go ahead. Throw the gun into the water.
But it's really a very expensive and beautiful
name. Bobby.
All right.
Out the window. Good. And now it shall sink into the mud and no one will ever find it. Not that anyone is ever going to look. And now, let us go home. Step number two. Where am I?
Where are you, wife? Well, aren't you here with me?
I am, and I am not. Where did you put me?
What? What do you mean?
Oh, Why is everything so difficult? You fired at me. I fell to the floor dead, didn't I?
Yes.
And then, where did you put me afterward? I know you didn't just leave me on our living room floor.
Oh, I took you down to the cellar.
Oh, Bobby, it's so dark and so damp down there.
I'm sorry, it's the best I can do.
Ah, very well. You carried me downstairs, and...
And in that corner just behind the furnace, when I dug a hole in the floor, and I buried you in it.
How could you?
I'm sorry.
Take me back to that place immediately. I was afraid of this.
Afraid of what, Jean?
You mean I'm underneath, there?
Well, yes.
Why do I even ask? It's obvious. Trust you to make a fiasco of the whole thing.
Just a minute. I'm sick of your superior attitude.
That police lieutenant will come back here. When a woman is missing, the police always consider foul play. The automatic suspect is the husband. If they come down here to search...
Why should they search?
Just to make sure you didn't do exactly what you did, which is to bury me in the basement. Did you know that according to statistics, 9 out of every 10 men who murder their wives at home bury the bodies in the basement or the yard?
Yes, but what would make the police even suspect?
Darling, there's a loose end. A very tiny loose end, and that is bound to pique the curiosity of any smart police detective, especially if she's a woman.
A loose end? Now, what could that loose end be? When Detective Diana Pollock left the house after questioning Bobby just a little while ago, she seemed satisfied that everything was in order. A loose end? If you concentrate on it, you might just remember what it is. I shall return to help you tie it up in Act 3.
Wednesday night on CBS Television. Don't miss a dramatic special movie presentation based on a true story, Gideon's Trumpet. Henry Fonda is Clarence Earl Gideon.
State of Florida plaintiff versus Clarence Earl Gideon defendant.
I don't have a lawyer.
Why not?
I don't have the money.
He has to learn the law in order to change it. Can one man alone change the law of the land? Jose Ferrer and John Houseman also star in Gideon's Trumpet, Wednesday night at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
First it was Jaws, then it was The Deep. Now Peter Benchley has done it again with The Island. The Island. For centuries it has held a secret of terrifying savagery. The Island. It will hold you prisoner from the first page to the last. The Island. A number one bestseller. Now a Bantam paperback, soon to be a major film from Universal Pictures. No one will escape The Island.
They said it couldn't be written. The book that hit America like a runaway locomotive. The new consumer information catalog.
For the life of me, Forster, your obsession with that book escapes me. It's only a catalog.
The book that's helping America find a better way to live.
What do you find in that catalog?
Something you could never give me, Lillian.
More than 200 fact-filled federal publications listed inside.
Booklets on home and car repairs, weight control, keeping household records, and more. I read them all to be the man you want me to be.
That's a lot of reading.
The book you have to read from the Consumer Information Center of the U.S. government. The new Consumer Information Catalog. It's free. Just write to Free Catalog, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
That's Free Catalog, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Send for the book.
Don't wait for the movie.
Our life, said Mr. Thoreau, is frittered away by details. On the other hand, Mrs. Hopkins insists that genius is the capacity for taking infinite pains. I would side with the lady in this case. Life is, after all,
one little detail after another, and each one of them has a place in the basic scheme of things.
I'm under that floor there, am I?
Yes, that's what I told you.
How obvious it is, too. You can see that the floor has been recently broken up, Bobby. You can see the evidence of fresh cement.
Oh.
Yes, oh. All right, Bobby. We'll have to get you out of this somehow.
Well, where else could I take you? Where else could I hide your body?
Just do as I tell you. Get some dirt. Coal dust.
Coal dust? Where am I going to get coal dust?
And maybe a little oil.
What for?
Smooth out the floor and then rub it down with a mixture of coal dust and oil so it will look old, established, undisturbed. Wait. How lucky for you that I was such a sorry housekeeper. I never cleaned the attic. It's filled with cobwebs. Very carefully, we'll bring some of them down, attach them from the walls to the floor. It will actually look as if no one ever comes down here. Well, Bobby, what are you waiting for?
It was backbreaking, painstaking work. But finally, I finished with it. And when I was through, you could have sworn that nothing or no one had disturbed the surface of that floor in years. And not a moment too soon. The next day, I had a visitor. What can I do for you, Lieutenant Pollock?
Do you know a Mrs. George Stewart?
No.
Her name is Linda. You were engaged to her.
Oh, Linda, yes. Well, I just didn't connect the married name.
The day your wife disappeared, you had a date with her.
Oh, no, I didn't.
You mean you were not drinking with her at Larizio's restaurant?
Oh, that. You couldn't exactly call it a date.
What could you call it?
We just happened to meet for a drink.
Why?
Why? Well,
Mrs. Stewart has a suspicious husband.
I didn't know that.
He has a hunch, or as he explains it, a gut feeling, that Mrs. Stewart is having an affair.
Linda? Oh, I can't believe that.
So he decided to follow her.
That's rather despicable, don't you think?
To Larizio's, where she sat in an inconspicuous booth, obviously waiting for someone to arrive. Someone did. It was you.
Well, yes, I don't deny it.
Why did you arrange to meet?
Curiosity. We'd been quite close at one time, and I was curious to know just what she looked like, how she is. Aren't you ever curious about old friends?
About old friends, yes. About old fiancés, no.
But that's all it was. Curiosity.
You do have a motive.
What do you mean? A motive?
Let's say you have the appearance of a motive to murder your wife.
But why would I want to do that?
So that you will be free to establish a relationship with Mrs. Stewart.
Oh, no. That's not true. I tell you, I could never murder Jeannie.
There's nothing personal in this, Mr. Boyle, but it would serve to clear the air if you would permit us to search the house.
Well, go right ahead. Why not? I have nothing to hide.
I'm sure of it. Sergeant Mullins, Sergeant Lewis, let's start at the top.
I want to tell you, they were very efficient. They went from room to room, closet to closet, drawer to drawer. They looked upstairs and downstairs, and literally in my lady's chamber, and they apologized profusely for the inconvenience. Then, of course, we went downstairs to the cellar.
It's musty.
I'm sorry.
Now, if this were a mystery, this is where your wife would be hidden, under the floor.
I assure you, there's nothing mysterious about me. My life is an open book.
Look at all this dirt and dust. Doesn't anybody ever come down here?
No, we just never had the need to.
Sergeant Mullins, what do you think?
Nothing.
I agree. Let's get out of here. Mr. Boyle, thank you for your cooperation. I hope your wife comes back.
You mean you no longer suspect me of murder?
Now, Mr. Boyle, this was merely an exercise in police routine.
Oh.
If you should hear anything that you think might require assistance from your police department, please contact us immediately.
Yes, I'll certainly do that.
Here's my card and a number where you can reach me 24 hours a day.
I certainly do appreciate this, Lieutenant Pollock.
Don't hesitate now.
Oh, I won't.
Goodbye. Or shall we say au revoir, Mr. Boyle?
Au revoir, Lieutenant Pollock.
Don't.
Don't what?
Don't have anything to do with her.
Why not? She doesn't suspect me. No one suspects me. Not anymore.
Thanks to me.
I thought I carried it off rather well.
As I was saying, don't have anything to do with her. If you do, she'll have to arrest you.
What are you saying?
You talk in your sleep, Bobby, darling. Well, this is goodbye.
Goodbye?
Yes. I have to go home.
Where's home?
Where do you think? Downstairs in the cellar. In the dark and dank and dingy cellar. You could have done better by me, Bobby.
I'm sorry. Look, maybe later I can transfer you to someplace more pleasant.
No. No, it's too chancy. I guess I'll just have to make the best of it.
Jeannie, I'm sorry it didn't work out. You don't know how hard it was for me. I was losing all my self-respect.
Bobby, darling, you'd better answer the phone. Goodbye.
Jeannie? Hello?
Bobby, any news from Jeannie?
No.
Oh. Well, I guess that shoots the campaign.
Why?
Well, Jeannie was supposed to have come up with the whole, rationale for the whole thing.
I told you I would come up with something.
I know you did, but so far I haven't seen anything.
Well, you just meet me for lunch, and I'll lay it in your lap. It's the campaign, I mean. I'll show him. I'll show the whole world. I have ideas. I create concepts. Maybe mine aren't as flashy as hers were. But if you look deeply at hers, they were basically shallow and superficial. A lot of glitter. But underneath it was all base metal, whereas mine are pure gold. Wait, just wait till he sees this. Well, Jack?
Bobby, I don't know what to say.
What do you mean, you don't know what to say?
I've never seen anything like this. It's just fabulous. Fabulous.
What did I tell you?
Mistress. That's the word, Bobby. The word. Can you imagine a breakfast cereal? A health food breakfast cereal called Mistress? What a darling idea.
Go ahead. Tell me more.
What a concept. Bobby, I'm humble. The absolutely stunning rationale. The wife, the housewife, the kitchen slavey, identified with preparing breakfast, starting the day. Starting the day as what? As a wife? But now she's no longer the drudge of a wife. She is the gleaming, alluring mistress. Never, I tell you, has Jeannie ever come up with anything like this.
Jeannie?
Of course, Jeannie. Who else?
Who else? Me, that's who else.
Oh, Bobby. Everybody knows who wears the creative hat at Boyle and Fry. It's Jeannie.
This is my concept.
Bobby, let me give you two reasons why it cannot be your concept.
But Jeannie has disappeared.
How do I know? Maybe she just went away for a rest and sent the thing into you.
I tell you, it's mine.
Bobby, it can't be yours. No man can have that penetrating, sensitive insight into a woman's psyche. It's mine. Bobby, the people are starting to look at us. Bobby, it's the sequel to her original concept for truth, which is the man's breakfast food.
Jack, you don't understand.
But I do. I know that you're upset because you're being overshadowed by your wife. Well, Bobby, learn to live with it. Adjust to it.
Jack, that title, mistress, that concept, I worked it out myself. It's all mine.
Bobby, we're retrogressing.
Why can't you believe it's my creation?
Bobby, you forced me to be cruel. Let us even say clinical. It's beyond you, Bobby. You simply don't have the creative ability. She did it.
No, she didn't. She couldn't. No one's going to take this one away from me. I'll prove to you that she couldn't do it. I'll show you. I'll make you get down on your knees and apologize to me for this insult.
Bobby, you're not feeling well. You'd better go see a doctor.
Let's go.
Where?
Do you want me to drag you? I did. I pulled him away from the table. I hustled him into a cab. I made him come into the house. I hustled him downstairs. There was a pick and a shovel. I made him start breaking up the floor with the pick while I began shoveling. He was scared. He thought it was best to humor me.
Bobby, just don't get excited. Why are we tearing up the floor?
To prove my point.
What point?
That I created the concept.
All right, okay. I believe you.
No, you don't. You're trying to humor me. I'll give you incontrovertible, I'll give you unassailable, I will give you undeniable proof that she could not have written that concept.
Bobby,
Don't stop digging. Don't stop digging. Keep digging.
But, Bobby, something seems
there.
To be...
There. See? So, how could she have written the concept? Look at her. Look at her and tell me how.
Bobby.
Now do you believe me?
What are the basic forces that move men and women? The experts differ. Some say the most powerful is sex. Others say hunger. What do I say? I'm not sure, but I'd like to add a third to that list. I think that pride of authorship can also move men and women to commit any crime that exists. I'll be back shortly.
Would you give your right arm to help save someone's life? I know I'd give either arm, because I have, lots of times, to give blood at the Red Cross. L.C. Vaughn of Detroit, Michigan, has given more than I have. L.C.'s a Red Cross 2-gallon blood donor, and we agree on just about everything when it comes to blood. We like giving blood, honestly. Of course, you might say we do it for a selfish reason. Helping save lives makes us feel good, and we like to feel good. But no one at Red Cross ever asks why we give blood. They're just glad we do. You see, we know that the need for blood is always there. Every type is needed every day. And that's why L.C. Vaughn and I plan to keep on giving blood. And we'll give it from either arm the Red Cross nurse wants to use. How about you? It's simple. Just call your Red Cross chapter and make an appointment. Tell them if L.C. Vaughn can do it, I can do it too. Come on, give your right arm or your left to help keep Red Cross ready.
In ancient Greek legend, and in the delightful modern version by Shaw, Pygmalion creates Galatea, and they both live in bliss together. In real life, however, things are never that simple. We have already quoted Mr. Dickens in our story. Let us hear from him again. Let sleeping dogs lie. Who wants to rouse them? And so, ladies and gentlemen, don't try to change your mate into something else. Better the devil you know than the one he or she might become. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Patricia Elliott, Fred Gwynn, and Velika Gray. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a
preview of our next tale.
There's so little kindness and genuine encouragement in this world.
No, there's quite a bit. You just have to meet up with it, I suppose.
You would do this for me?
What is it, after all? Just a word to a man that I've known for a long time? He respects my judgment, and I know this is a fine book.
Sir, I'll never forget what you've done for me. I promise you.
Beware of making promises you may be unable to keep.
You don't know what it is to be poor and unknown.
I don't?
How can I ever thank you?
How? Obviously, you thanked me by stealing my wife. Yes. Well, that isn't the worst of it. I could have forgiven you for that. It was the other thing, Malcolm. The other thing.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.